Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third in the series of child-centered divorce teleseminars that are being brought to you through National Child-Centered Divorce Month. We are just delighted to have three experts on divorce this evening who are going to be providing a wealth of information, valuable information that everyone who is facing divorce, moving through divorce, or having had a divorce can benefit from, because the information and the wisdom here is so broad-based that regardless of what your particular status is, you will be able to take away some meaningful and usable tips right from the beginning. My name is Rosalind Sadaka. I'm the founder of National Child Center Divorce Month and the Child Center Divorce Network, and I'm delighted to have you on board with us. And I want to introduce you today to Laura Campbell, to Amy Botwinick, and Belinda Rockman. And I'm going to ask each of them individually to just take a minute and introduce themselves so you could get an idea of the experience and background they each bring to this subject. Laura, why don't we start with you?
Great. Hi. Welcome. It's a real pleasure to be here. I am a divorce and life reinvention coach. I'm the founder of the D-Spot, and I support individuals to regroup, renew, and to reinvent themselves before, during, and after divorce. And I believe strongly that divorce is not an end, it's a beginning, and that we have all the answers within us. It's just a matter of tapping into them.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. And Belinda, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Well, I'm the child of a divorce. As a teacher, when I was a special ed teacher, I worked with a lot of children from broken families. And then later, as a divorce lawyer for 8 years, I saw the inside dirty secrets of court, which inspired me to get out and do nothing but divorce mediation. So I've seen it from all sides, and I have very strong opinions on divorce.
Excellent. Well, we will be looking forward to hearing those. And Amy Botwinick, tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Roz. I'm a woman who went through a very challenging divorce, 3 years in the court system, and I think I did everything wrong. So from that experience, I created a book called Congratulations on Your Divorce, The Road to Finding Your Happily Ever After, and a whole new career transition myself from being a chiropractor, helping people by touching them. Now I help them with my words to consult and coach them on how to do divorce the right way. Because a lot of women will go for a financial and emotional train wreck, and that was me. So I'm trying to say to women, look, I've been there, I've done that. Let me show you how to get through this with your sanity intact, preserve your finances, and move on powerfully.
Wonderful. Well, as you can see, we have some dynamos with us, so let's get started. I want to start with you, Belinda, and ask you about what a divorce mediator does in the process and why that's such an important a tool to use, a mediator, as opposed to some of the other options out there?
Well, I think it's important whenever you have children that you don't set up a situation where it's World War III with the kids caught in the middle, which was my experience of my parents' divorce. And when you hire private attorneys who are working by the hour, there's a conflict of interest because you want them to wrap it up as quickly as possible, and they're very motivated to keep the case going as long as they can because that's how they get paid. Mediation is not litigation. Mediation is using one person. I know there are a lot of people who call themselves mediators. I think it should be an experienced divorce attorney who can actually, you know, give you legal information. But when you use one attorney, that person is not your attorney or the other person's attorney, but it is the attorney in the room who can answer legal questions and give you a reality check if one person's really going off the deep end saying, well, I want all the property and you take all the debts. Well, if you're in a community property state, that's just not going to happen. And an experienced divorce attorney can tell you that. And instead of doing what private attorneys do sometimes, or maybe quite often, is to give their clients unreasonable expectations. You have to watch out for that, because if they're telling you that they can get you something that they can't get you, they're going to force the other side to litigate, which is really exactly what they want. So when you're only using one attorney, it's not a fight in court. It's a private situation. I do mine in my office. Most mediators have an office they use, and it's just the three of you, one mediator and the couple, and the mediator can answer your questions, do all the forms. You know, the forms are pretty complicated, and give you not legal advice the way a lawyer, you know, a private attorney would give you advice, encouraging you one way or the other, but to just advise you that this is generally what the court does in a situation like yours. And so it's not a highly charged environment. And if you're working with a really good mediator who knows how to calm people down when they're, you know, in an emotionally upset place, then it protects the children by protecting the parents' co-parenting relationship. So that's why I support you, Roz, so much in what you're doing, because the focus should always be on the children when there are children involved, and a lot of times the kids get lost in the fight.
And I totally agree, and thank you so much for that. Let's go to Laura and talk about the kind of divorce coaching that you do.
How does that fit into the picture? Well, having a business marketing background, I come to this with no disrespect, but I sometimes tell my audience and tell people it's kind of like a bait and switch. People come to me and they're looking for what to do next. What do I do now? And they think it's the divorce that's led them to me. But the truth of the matter is it's not really about the divorce. And this is where, again, I'll repeat what Belinda said. I support you so much in doing this and having a child-centered divorce, because the truth of the matter is when you can take care of yourself, especially women who oftentimes have difficulty in taking those first few steps alone, then you're more clear and you're freer to focus on what is in the best interest of your children. If you get emotionally, you know, entwined with your ex or your soon-to-be ex, and in keeping that fight alive, you're not able to do the things that you need to do in order to create a healthy path forward for yourself and your children. And so my ultimate mission and my purpose and what I'm passionate about is supporting people to be able to take those steps in moving forward to take care of yourself, which in turn does enable you to make choices that are in the best interest of your children. It's an advocacy for taking care of yourself and doing what needs to get done.
Got it. Important. Thank you. And Amy, how do your services fit into this mix?
Well, I really talk to the women who connect with me through my website, and I find out what stage they are going through in their divorce, because there's really three. There's the before, should I stay or should I go, or, oh, my God, he's leaving me, and they're just completely paralyzed. Or maybe I catch a woman while they're dealing with the business of divorce and they're dealing with mediators and attorneys and helping children transition and, you know, mommy, now what? You know, that's a really big thing, like the other ladies were saying, is to really keep the focus on the children while you're going through the midst of the crazy business of divorce. And then some women I work with are having been complete with their legal divorce, but now they need an emotional divorce, and they're in that, I'm done, but I need to move on, and I'm stuck. And that is a very common thing for women. They feel a little bit shell-shocked. You know, they're done, and they're exhausted, but now they're also freaked out because they're suddenly single, and they really don't know how to move on as a single mom and give the kids the security and the confidence that everything's going to be okay, because they're a little bit frazzled themselves. So I help push them onto the road of empowerment and let them know, look, this is some steps. Ultimately, it's about your attitude and just getting them in the right place, giving them a guide, giving them some tools, some referrals to be able to make it happen in a positive way.
Excellent. Well, we're very fortunate that we have resources like the three of you to be there during this tough times. And let's get now into the real nitty-gritty of what we're talking about. I want to focus right now on some of the biggest mistakes that you three typically see in parenting through and after a divorce. Laura, let's start with you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that, what I mentioned, which is finding the lure of the battle more attractive than really focusing on what your desired outcomes are. So that the biggest pitfall is to fall into the who's right, who's wrong. I hear it over and over again with people. I don't want to let him win, or I don't want to let her win. If I do this, he wins or she wins. There is no winning. That's no one's bad. There's no winning. There's no losing. There's just desired outcomes. And when you're able to focus on the outcome that you want, then the solutions and the different options that you have to get there, you can begin to see clearly. When you're too focused on the battle takes a life of its own rather than getting closer to what you really want to happen. And when you're talking about your children, the ultimate desire are to make decisions and to take actions that create a life for your child that enables them to thrive. So really, that would be my number one mistake that I see, is just focusing on that battle instead of focusing on the desired outcome and how are we going to come up to a communication and come up to a solution that's going to enable us to get to that outcome for our children.
Thank you. That's such important information. I hope everyone hears that and re-listens again so that they get that message. And Amy, why don't you share some of the biggest mistakes that you typically see?
Well, what I typically see is women really not paying attention to how vulnerable their children are. And the two mistakes that I often see is, let's start with number one, that blame game of trying to get the kids on your side and divulging information that is just not children's business. There are adult issues, and these children need to really be protected. They didn't ask for it. This is not their fault, and it's not their business. And your job as a parent is to not trash the other parent, because when you do that, you hurt the children because they recognize that, well, my dad or my mom, I'm part of them. So if you're going to trash them, then you're trashing me. So a father or a mother who is, you know, trying to make themselves feel better by really saying bad things about the other parent, it's that child's parent, and it's going to come back and haunt you. So when it comes to this situation, there's a lot of turmoil that goes on, a lot of anger, a lot of acrimony. You have to really compartmentalize that for your children and be the best person you can be, and just be quiet. If you have nothing nice to say, then don't say anything. And that's number one. Number two is really a parent has to remain the parent. You cannot go into girlfriend mode or I need somebody to talk to. It's too much responsibility for a child to take on your problems. You have issues. Go see a therapist. Go see a consultant. Talk to a girlfriend. Do not put that burden on your children because they are simply children. Your job is protection to preserve their childhood.
Oh, thank you so much. Such important, valuable information, the material that I'm constantly trying to get across to my readers as well. So thank you for that. And Belinda, what can you add as far as mistakes?
Those were really, really powerful points from both Laura and Amy. Well, I, you know, as a litigator, I saw different things than I see as a mediator. When parents are fighting over custody, there's a huge, I don't know, not incentive, I'm trying to think of the right word. A lot of people treat the children as a prize to be won, and that's what happens to way too many children in litigation. I think in general, a lot of women feel very threatened by men taking care of the children if the men haven't really stepped up to the plate before, and that's frightening for women to let go and give the guys a chance to make their mistakes, see what they can do. Okay, some nights the kids' teeth aren't going to get brushed, but people do the best that they can. And I've seen a lot of women over the years try to keep the children away from the men as much as possible, and it causes the triangulation that Amy was just talking about, of the kids getting caught and being pulled between the two. And, you know, when you think about a child has a right to be with each parent as much as they possibly can, because men bring something different to the table than women do, you know, and they need an opportunity to be with both parents as much as possible. It's better to leave them with a dad who's just a halfway decent dad. I mean, not all fathers know how to do everything, and, you know, that a woman comes more naturally to do. I'm not denying that women are very good nurturers for the most part. But men need to be given an opportunity to step up to the plate, too, because the kids need them.
Wow, that's such an important point. Thank you so much for making that, and women need to hear that. So what all three of you have just said has been so valuable, and springing off of that, just to make the point a little more clear, is the next question about how do the poor decisions affect the well-being of your children, not only in the short-term months after the divorce, but in the years after the divorce. If these mistakes are made and people make poor decisions, what are the consequences to the children? Why don't we start with you again, Laura?
Oh, the consequences, you know, I happen, you know, to come to this from a place of having two happily married parents. And so I wasn't the child of divorce, which made this, for me, feel so traumatic. And I feel, and I stress this in all of my work with my clients, that we are modeling for them all the time. They're watching, you know, those little ears are listening to everything, and those big ears of teenagers and young adults are also listening and watching. Mm-hmm. And so my guidance to anyone, male or female, is to think carefully about your actions and your words and the things that you do, and make sure that you want those to be what your children are modeling. And listen, life is full of conflict, whether it's with friends, whether it's with colleagues, whether it's with, you know, your subordinates or your boss. We all have conflict, and divorce is just really an exaggerated conflict. So they're watching us, and they're learning, how does one go through conflict? How does one deal with that? How does one communicate about it? How does one act through it? And so the implications, again, you know, kind of going from where Amy went, is if you have nothing nice to say, she's absolutely correct. Don't say anything at all. There's no need to say that. But stand strong in how you feel. Stand strong in what you want. But make sure you do it in a manner that you think is going to be the best possible role model for your children, because they will grow up to be adults and hopefully will be in happy, healthy relationships of their own.
Yes, and that's definitely the goal that we all have for all of the families that are listening today. Amy, how can you share some other perspectives about the poor decisions and the effect on our children in the short and long term?
Well, you know, it's spot on what we were just discussing, because children are like animals. They can smell the yuck on you. Whether you think you're sucking it up, but you're really not, or you're on the phone complaining to your girlfriend, your kids are in earshot, they can just feel it. So you really have to get yourself into a more positive place for them so they don't feel this stress, because that's what it's going to be. If you make poor decisions and you wind up, you know, trying to get one kid on your side and alienate the other parent, the amount of pressure that these kids feel and the amount of guilt is going to carry through with them as young adults, as adults. You're causing them so much pain. And if you do speak poorly about the other parent, you may have very legitimate gripe. Maybe there was infidelity. Maybe that parent or that spouse did some really bad things. You know what? Kids get it. My advice is just be quiet. They figure things out on their own, and they don't need to hear it from you, because if you do speak badly and you do say horrible things, they may side with you because they feel bad about it in the beginning, but at the end of the day, they will grow up and they will resent you and not want to be with you and really have issues with you as a grown adult because you trashed their parent, part of who they are. So I think that I just want to what was said, the whole thing about these children deserve a mother and a father. It is their birthright to have both parents in their life as much as possible. And you really have to keep in mind that these kids can have some really long-term wounds if you want. Think about it like you're slicing. You know, if you have to get graphic, you really are hurting them if you do these things. So whatever you need to do in your head to say to yourself, stop, you know, shut up, or whatever it is, I don't want to hurt my child. You have to always be in that mindset. What's best for my child? Because it is going to affect them negatively if I act like this, A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And Belinda, you can add your perspective on the effects of the well-being on the children.
Well, you know, as a special ed teacher, I came to the law very interested in the effects of divorce on children, and I've read a lot of studies about, you know, what the deal is with kids, since, you know, I was one of those kids. And children of nasty divorces are less inclined to marry, and they have a higher incidence of divorce than children who are from intact families or from families with more friendly divorces. And I read a fascinating long-term study that was done on really kind of high-conflict couples. They were young and poor, and they took half the couples and put them through divorce mediation, and half the couples just went the regular route, you know, through the court system. And it was absolutely fascinating and amazing what the differences were in parenting over a 15-year period. And after a nasty divorce, there's a higher percentage of men who just abandon their families. They walk away from the kids. They don't have regular contact with them. They don't pay regular child support. And it was the complete opposite of fathers who did mediation. It was amazing. And it was a very long-term study that looked over a long period of time. How many contacts did both fathers, types of fathers, have with the children? And there was an astounding difference between couples who went through a nasty divorce and couples who did not.
Well, that's excellent to hear. The impact of all of that and what all three of you were saying is so important, and that's bringing us to the real crux of the conversation we're having tonight, because now we're going to talk about some of your best suggestions for parenting successfully after a divorce. And before I call on you, I just want to remind our listeners that we'll give you an opportunity to call in some questions live if you have any, and you also have an opportunity on the webcast link to write in your questions, and we have a question already waiting for us, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. So if you do have questions, don't be bashful and take advantage of this. And let's start with you, Amy, and let's discuss some of your best suggestions for parenting successfully after a divorce.
Well, I think the number one thing is get yourself right first, because your children will do as well as you do. And if you are off the deep end and you're depressed, whatever, like I said, they will know it. They will get so tense and uptight. So that's number one. Do whatever it is you need to do. See a therapist. Learn how to meditate. Go for a walk. Get yourself whole. Once you get yourself solid, you'll be able to take on your children and give them some tools that they can use to learn from the experience, because while it is a really big challenge, and it's not fun, it's not fair, but it is what it is, but being able to shift the perception a little bit that it is a great teacher, divorce, whether we like it or not. It's what we discussed earlier about learning how to deal with difficult situations, difficult people, challenges, how to cope. So there's a lot that can come out of divorce in a positive way. I think some of the more important things you can do for children, of course, is age-dependent, you know, really young children. You know, everybody says, well, how do I tell them what's the most important thing? When you're dealing with little kids, you know, infants to three, they don't really understand, but most important, the touching, the feeling, the soft words are important. When you get to a 3 to 7-year-old, their main thing is they're very self-absorbed at that age, and they're just like, well, what about me? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to feed me? Reassuring them that all their needs will be met is really important. And it seems very basic, but for them it's important. When you're getting to the kids that are 7 to 12, they want to make sure, I want to see my mommy, I want to see my daddy, and I want to make sure that you're not going to give me a hard time about wanting to see that parent. You should be encouraging. You should be making sure that the other parent is in the fold, because you need them. Okay, whatever happened in that marriage happened in the marriage. This is a separate thing about co-parenting and creating a new relationship with your then spouse. You have to transition, change expectations and boundaries, and learn how to parent for the sake of your child. When it gets into older kids that are teens, if you can really be in the same town to make things easier, the same school, the same, you know, try to keep consistency for them the best you can. And you know what? I found that even kids who are grown up and their parents divorced late in life, you think that they're not going to have a problem with it. They are. So you have to listen and you have to be empathetic. And, you know, you don't have to divulge gory details about what went wrong with your marriage. It's just, you know, we're going to get along better if we don't live together. So be very careful not to talk about the dirty nitty-gritty. Again, it's none of their business. It's your adult problem. Let them be children.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. And Belinda, what can you tell us about some of the best suggestions you have for parenting successfully after a divorce?
Well, this is the biggie, and I kind of made it up myself. It's called Special Master. And in California, the courts use special masters for financial issues, but I thought, why couldn't you do it with kid issues, where you have an agreed-upon go-to person whenever you have conflicts? Instead of running to court and having some stranger who doesn't even know you and having to use some sort of paid guides to get you there, you know, duke it out in court, agree to either a minister, a counselor, a friend whose opinion you trust, but some neutral third party whose opinion you value and trust. Let them decide. If the two of you can't make up your mind about what should happen with your child, throw it in front of somebody else whose opinion you trust and who knows and likes you. I think that's the best one, and I build that into all of my agreements. I just think it's sensible to avoid court. And then the other thing, again, I mean, as a teacher, I got so many little tricks of the trade. Model good behavior. So when the other parent is late, you be on time. When the other parent is withholding information, you share information. Show them how to do it. Because after a while, their defenses will go down when they see that there's no battle. If you have an intention to have a peaceful divorce, chances are you can enroll the other person into the idea of having a peaceful divorce. But if you want to fight, you're going to get a fight. So, you know, for the sake of the children, it's important that after all this is done and you're on the other side of the divorce, that you have a powerful co-parenting relationship, because as the kids get older, boy, they will work your last nerve. And about the last thing of sharing the parenting, you know, time with the dads, moms need downtime for themselves. They need to, they've been taking care of the kids and working and all this stuff that moms do. They need to go out and blow off some steam with some friends. And you want to be able to trust that dad's going to be able to take care of the kids while you're out, you know, getting some relaxation. So it's important to have a powerful co-parenting relationship, or the kids will play you off against each other. And if you ever get in a bidding war over kids, you're dead. Where the dad says, well, I'll buy you a car if you live with me. And, you know, mom says, well, I'll buy you a pony, or all that craziness. Don't do it. It's a lose-lose. And when it's teenagers against parents, you have to be a united front. They're the enemy. You need to have consistent rules, or they will try to find the chink in the armor and work you against each other to divide and conquer, and then they've won and you've lost.
That is so true.
Excellent advice, and I love the special master concept. That was a new one for me, and one that I'm going to definitely recommend. And if you want to send me an article about that to add to my e-zine, I would love to share that.
You know, that's one of my top tips on my website, Top Tips to Avoid Court. I think I have 8 or 9 of them, so that's like number one. That's the best one.
That is great. And Laura, I'm sure you have a few other tidbits that you can be adding about smart parenting suggestions.
Listen, parenting is hard whether you're divorced or you're together. You know, parenting is a challenge. It's a, you know, you hear it over and over again. Parenting is the hardest job you'll ever have to do. I think separating your own emotions about the divorce from your parenting is really critical. And to accept that while the divorce may work for you, it will never work for them. They will never be happy about this. So from the very beginning, we can't look to our children to make it okay. And we have to accept and we have to acknowledge that this is not something that they chose and something that they want, and they don't ever have to like it. And for them to hear that takes a little bit of burden off of them. It's okay. They cannot like it, and they can accept it. And it, and I hear from so many of my clients, you know, we're broken. We're not a real family anymore. You know, I would encourage anyone listening to reframe that. You're not broken. You're a family. It just looks a little differently. And so what I always, my tip, so to speak, is really look and vision what you want your relationship with your children to look like. What do you want your parenting style to be? And stay true to that. Honor that. Whatever's going on with your, you know, your ex and you, whatever that co-parenting relationship, you know, journey is like, there'll be ups, there'll be downs, you'll have agreements, you'll have disagreements. When you're establishing your new relationship, your new home with your children, whether that's one day a week, 3 days a week, 7 days a week, you want to create your vision for what that parenting relationship is. And you want it to be built on a very strong foundation of your values and what matters most to you. And open the door to your children. Let them know that you're going to share with them and you're going to stay committed to, you know, listen, you gave birth to them, and from that moment on, we're committed to being great parents for them. And that doesn't change because of the divorce. But also you want to know how they feel. If the things are working, if they're not working, they need to know that they can come to you no matter what, and that you're going to listen with compassion and understanding that this is something they will never like. But there's wonderful, joyous, you know, family to be created through all of it.
Roz, if I may add something to I thought that was beautiful. One of the biggest lessons I learned that I pass on to my women when you're dealing with your children is to remember two ears, one mouth. And that in itself, to me, is golden, because I think children, you need to listen to your kids and just stop talking. And for us, we always want to fix, And the concept here is, look, you know, we're not going to get back together again, setting those boundaries. You know, you can't fix this. I'm not going to fix this. This is what it is. But you know what? I understand where you're coming from. I understand this hurts and you don't like it. And you know what? It's okay to say, you know, mommy, this is hard for mommy too. To really empathize and give them an opening to just vent and be very clear that, you know, this is how it is, but I understand you. And when you give them that opportunity and they get it out, they can, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, okay, you get how I feel, and I can move on. So I think less is more when you're dealing with your children, and just listen to them.
Well, all of this has been such wonderful advice, and I hope our listeners are really taking it to heart, and we'll follow up with these suggestions, because this is the focus of creating a child-centered divorce. And yes, it's possible. It's tough. It's not easy day by day, but it's possible, and the outcome is so much better. Which leads me to the question, what if you've made mistakes and now you want to rectify them? Many people realize that they did things a few months ago, a few years ago, maybe several years ago, and they were on the wrong track because they didn't know better. And now they're getting enlightened. They're realizing that there are other alternatives and other ways to approach parenting and dealing with their ex and all of that. So what do you say to someone who says, I've made a mistake and I want to rectify it? Is it too late? Belinda?
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in getting on the right road to begin with. But if you've been through a nasty divorce and you want to turn things around, again, I think it's intention. If you want to change the future, you can't keep going in the same direction. So it just takes sitting down and saying, listen, this has not worked. We've spent all our money on lawyers. You and I hate each other at this point. The kids are suffering for it. This does not work. I do not want to have World War III with the father or mother of my children for the rest of their life. What do you say we bury the hatchet and just move forward, and just let's start to get to the level of politeness? Just like that's the first step. If we can just get to abiding each other politely, we don't have to be best friends. But you know what? If I could tell a short story, I met a woman who was from one of the most horrendous experiences that could possibly happen to a man is he came home and he found his wife with his best friend. And he absolutely flipped out, and then all three of them realized, listen, this is not going to work. And they decided to be friends, okay? And the wife married the best friend, and the man eventually got married. They had children together. They all go on vacations together. They all celebrate holidays together. And the daughter told me that she never felt like she lost a family, but she gained a new one. That is my vision. That should be everybody's goal, is to have a friendly as possible, stress-free, comfortable transition from married life to being single again. And cut out the drama. Keep the vision of the possibility of just, if not friendship, like that was fantastic to me. That's so inspiring. I can't stand it. But if that's a bigger dream than you have, get to the stage of being polite. Just polite.
Good advice. Thank you. And Laura, what's your perspective on this?
I sometimes feel like I sound like a broken record, but I do always come back to the same kind of, you know, core foundation, which is it's so important, whether you're the man or the woman, to design what you want your life to look like. It's so easy, Roz, when you're trying to parent, that the emotions of the relationship with your ex, whether it be over the co-parenting, whether it be over finances, whether it be over anything, that yuck, as Amy said, that stuff, it pulls us away from what matters most. It pulls us away from the way we want our home to feel, the way we want our relationship to look like with our children. You know, I remember my son, also to take a quick moment to, I share my kids' custody with my kids, 50-50 with my ex-husband. And so there was a while where, frankly, my son just wasn't doing his homework, okay? But it was, I'm out of the divorce, and I can't find my books, and I don't know. And it was so easy, had I not been really able to separate, you know, the divorce issues between myself and my ex and my parenting, you know, what I wanted from that, my vision, you know, to be able to say to him, listen, I understand you don't like the divorce. The divorce is hard, and we can talk about that. But I can't allow you to use it as an excuse not to get your work done. Getting homework done is something that's your responsibility, and my responsibility is to listen to you and to hear what you're saying about any difficulty relating to the divorce and how we can make that better. And so that moment and that knowledge that we have to be able to separate out what our convictions, our values, and our foundation of our parenting is from any of the other conflicts that go on between us and our exes is really important.
Thank you. Yes. And Amy, what do you have to say about people who know they've made mistakes and now want to rectify them?
Well, I want to hug them because you know what? We are all going to mess up. This is a really difficult thing. And if you think you're going to go through this and not make major mistakes, I don't know. You're on a too much of a perfection journey for me, because this is not easy. And everybody's going to act like a bozo if you turn into somebody you don't even recognize when you're going through this. I mean, ladies, you know when we have moments like, oh, my God, who was that? And the other side is, too, and even dealing with your children. So you make a mistake. It's perfectly human. It's what helps us grow. It's what helps us learn. Forgive yourself and learn how to do it in a better way. So, you know, just being patient with yourself when you mess up, because you will. I promise you will mess up. And, you know, just pick it up and learn how to do it differently. Now, one of my biggest things is to let people know this transition from spouse to co-parent, major growing pains, because it's hard. And you're not going to always be your best self, even when you try. And I'm just going to give you a personal story a little into my life. Was, you know, my ex wound up with somebody who I knew from my life when they were younger. And, you know, she used to help me with the children and used to be in our business. And that was, you know, a big having to suck it up moment. And I will be honest and tell you, I may not have handled that so well in the beginning. I was not happy. And I just couldn't believe it. So it's taken me some time to really come full circle with that and be a bigger person. And it took a few steps. And I'm embarrassed by how I acted. But you know what? That's okay. I'm here to admit that because I'm not a superhero. You know, I'm going to blow it sometimes. But the key is that if you really recognize that, well, maybe that's not so cool. And more importantly, it's not so cool for my kids because they're watching me. And I want them to learn because kids don't learn from what you say. They learn from what you do. And that is my mantra all the time in my head. And now, you know, my ex-husband got remarried to her. They just had a baby. And, look, it is what it is. So now I've just kind of embraced the whole situation. My kids have a beautiful half-brother. And now I really feel like at a peace. I finally came to accept it, but it wasn't an easy thing. So I'm going to tell men and women out there, you know what, you're going to mess up. The key is to recognize it, forgive yourself, and do something better. And it's okay.
Thank you.
And you know what, Roz, if I might say so,
mm-hmm.
parents in marriages don't always act so great.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, we have to cut ourselves a little slack. You know, we started this parenting. Parenting is hard. So every day is a new day. You wake up every morning and you have the opportunity to set a new intention for your day.
I totally agree. I just want to add one other perspective about it, and that is that I believe it makes a lot of sense to apologize to your children. If you've made some mistakes, kept your children from seeing their other parent, badmouthed the other parent, and some of the other things that we've all learned are not smart ways of parenting, then it's very smart to be able to approach your children and say, you know what, Mom or Dad made a mistake, and I'm going to do it differently now. We have new rules, new game plan, and that wasn't a smart thing for me to do, and I apologize to you. Children are very accepting and will forgive readily because they love you so much, and it's a wonderful role model for you to show that anyone can make a mistake and anyone can apologize for it. So it's good behavior if you are getting insights and want to rectify it with your children. Go ahead and own up to it and be a big person.
They'll like you better. I agree. They will like you better because you're showing your vulnerability.
Exactly. Exactly. We have a question that came in on the website, and I'm going to read it to you quickly because it's rather long, but if you can provide some insights, this would be valuable. This is from Betty in Suffern, and she asks, what's the best way for a father to heal his children, who are now a 12-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy, of his own wounds when the breakup of the marriage involved his falling deeply in love with another woman? The marriage had some serious unresolved issues long before that, and since the breakup, both parents have been trying to do what's best for the kids, and Dad sees the kids all the time and is very involved in their lives. But he feels so guilty that even though he's divorcing and has cut off all ties with the other woman, despite the fact that the relationship was a serious one, he feels that the only way he can make it up to his kids is to not have a relationship of his own. And I suspected that this isn't healthy for anyone involved, but understandable. It's been over a year and a half since he moved out, and he still feels the same way. And she's asking if you have any thoughts or suggestions. So does any one of you want to pipe in with some feedback about that question?
The only thing, this is Laura, and what I would say is, you know, I'll go back to the kids will never be okay with the divorce. So to spend, you know, days, weeks, months, and years trying to make it okay with them it's not an outcome that's something that's even possible. So rather, in a situation like this, my my guidance or my support would be model for them what healthy behavior is, what a healthy relationship might look like, that sometimes relationships do end, sometimes things do happen, and you move forward in a way that's with honor, integrity, and honesty, and they will, over the course of time, accept. But they will never like it.
And that's true. Children will never like it. My son told me when he was a young adult, came up to me and said, you know, Ma, I was very upset when you and Dad divorced, and he was 11 at the time. He said, now I can see you two were so incompatible. I'm amazed you were even got married to start with, and I'm really glad you both divorced and remarried other people and are much happier. So sometimes it takes the perspective of when they grow up for them mm-hmm. to finally understand it, and that was very validating for me because he thanked me for handling the divorce well, which was the impetus for me to write my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? And I know the reason all of you got involved in this is because of your own personal feelings about the divorce issues. So definitely there are ways of moving ahead with all of that. Anyone else have any comments on this question before we move on to another one?
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, it's enough already. You know, you've given it plenty of time, and your kids, you're showing your kids, like, self-flagellation. How much are you going to torture yourself? Go, live your life. It's over. And if you want to teach your children a good lesson, it's that, okay, bad things happen. You'll make mistakes in life, but you can't stay stuck in them, and you can't be in regret all the time. Thinking that this is going to help as kids is a bad message. So it's like it's time to move on and show your kid that you are going to be happy and create a new life, and that's a powerful lesson, not where he's at. It's like enough is enough. Move on.
I hear you. I think that's good advice. Let's quickly address what about your own needs as a single parent or as a co-parent? How do you make time for your own mental health? Because obviously this is a challenge 24 hours a day. So what is your perspective on that, Belinda?
On taking care of yourself?
Yes.
Well, you know what they say. Ain't nobody happy when mom ain't happy.
That's true.
You know, I think it's very important for people, as you just said before, to be a good role model. And children need to see their parents being strong, independent, healthy, happy people, not sad sack, laying around the house, eating ice cream and crying. I mean, you know, you have to fake it till you make it for the sake of the kids. And so if that means having a night out, having a life you enjoy, whatever that is, you know, maybe that's, I tango dance on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I love it. You know, that's what I do for myself. My husband doesn't do it. And you know what? That's too bad. I like to do it. So it's good for people to move on, focus on the positive, and if you keep doing the same thing, and getting a bad result, you're going to keep getting a bad result if you do the same thing. Try something different. Break out of your comfort zone and, you know, go try something new, meet new people. But you've got to be a good example for your children, and that means being successful and happy yourself.
I love it. Absolutely. Thank you. And Laura, what's your advice for our mental health?
Well, you know, I always think of it as, you know, on the airplane they tell you if something, you know, if disaster strikes, you put your own oxygen mask on first, then you put it, you know, onto your children. And the reason is because if you're not well enough in all regards to take care of yourself, then you simply cannot take care of someone else. And the truth of the matter is, Belinda's absolutely correct. Find the things that fuel you. And when I say fuel, I mean find the things that put you in a place, put you in a state of mind, put you in a framework that is calm as can be for the moment, that is, you know, a happy place. Find whatever puts you into your happy place. And when you are able to do that, share with your children. You know, I'm a big believer in, hey, you know, my kids need to find their happy place. Because it's much better for me when they're happy. And the same thing happens for me. And we all work together so that we all have time to fuel ourselves and to take care of ourselves. And it's a very important, all of these things that we're talking about are critical to modeling, again, for our children as they grow up, and they're going to need, whether they be men, young men, boys, and young girls, growing up so that they can take care of themselves.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. And Amy?
You know, you're going to act like a doormat, then your kids are going to become doormats. So they need to see you taking pride in yourself and taking care of yourself and doing fun things. When this whole child visitation thing happened for me and the first day my ex took the kids, I did cry myself a river, and I was pathetic. And I went into the kids' room and started cleaning out closets and smelling their clothes. I was like I was a mess. And it was very hard at first because you feel like your right arm is being taken off. But then as you go on and you start getting used to this, it's like my married friends were looking at me like, oh, my God, that's like a really nice little hidden benefit to being divorced. The best babysitter you could ever give your kids is the other parent, if, God willing, they're in the picture, which you hope they are. So once I got over the hump of realizing, you know what, this is really an opportunity for me to be a college kid again in a responsible way. I can start doing things I never had time for. I can start healing myself. I want to take an art class. Oh, my God, I have time to do that. When you start getting ready for dating, you can keep that whole world separate from your children when they're with the other spouse and the co-parent. If there is no co-parent, then you need to say, I need a break. And you need to find a family member, a friend, or something in the community where you are going to give yourself that break so you can take care and nurture your mind, body, and spirit. Because otherwise, you're going to become like a crispy critter, and then you're going to be no good to anybody. So it's really important to show your children that self-care is of the utmost, and you're going to need that time to heal, and you always need to have a break. So I think that is, a lot of women feel very selfish. They feel like they look selfish, but it's really self-preservation, and it's a really good example. You're showing your children that, hey, I matter, and because I matter, I want to show you that you matter. Take care of yourself and do things for yourself.
That's great. Well, I know everyone who's listening will be interested in finding out how they can connect with each of you. So I'm going to ask you if you could briefly give us some information on how they could find you by phone, email, web, or whatever, and also what products and services you have available that our listeners might be interested in accessing. So, Laura, why don't you start?
Great. Well, I can be found. My website is www.discoverthedspot.com. I have a wonderful weekly newsletter. It's informational, a lot of tools, techniques, and just, you know, my ramblings of exactly the kinds of things that we're talking about here. I also, you know, for anyone on this who goes to the site, there's a complimentary divorce is a journey. It's a guide and a companion journal, and it just kind of offers in all of the areas of your life little tips and tidbits to kind of help you take those first steps. I do personal coaching, and I have teleclasses that will kick off again in the fall. And I encourage anyone who is looking for support, you know, doesn't know the answer to what comes next, don't hesitate to get in touch with me.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Belinda, how can we reach you?
Well, I'm a California attorney, so the only people who can work with me are couples who are getting a divorce in California. But my website is a treasure trove of information for people in any part of Canada or the United States to learn what the difference is between litigation and mediation. There are movies and audios and articles and all kinds of stuff to give you a good idea, because divorce is divorce all over the country. So for people who aren't familiar with mediation, it's a good idea to come in and check out www.divorce, then a hyphen, which is a minus sign, inaday.com, inaday.com. And it's true. I do it between about 4.5 and 7 hours is the average time that it takes to do a divorce mediation with me, and then you're all done.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Oh, and for a flat fee. Try that with other divorce attorneys. I charge $2,500.
Wow. Wow, that's outstanding. Wonderful to know about you. And Amy, how can we find you?
You can find me at my website, womenmovingon.com, and that's W-O-M-E-N, the plural, womenmovingon.com. And what I do is I do divorce consulting out of my home, and what I'm doing is now transitioning into an online service where I'll be having packages specifically tailor-made to the woman who's dealing with the before, the during, and the after. And that will be up and ready on the website August 1st. I would love to find me on CBS has a show called Women's Entertainment Television that's going to be airing September 22nd. And what they did is they came and they called me around for 2 days to I do divorce empowerment workshops. I take women out on a course, if you've ever heard of a ropes course, where you kind of feel your fear but do it anyway. I know, Roz, you participated with a rock wall climb and a zip line and just helping women tap into their power, and I'll be having one this fall locally in South Florida. And, you know, Women's Entertainment Television, they don't have a title for it yet. They don't have a time, but if you all know Women's Entertainment, it'll be on there shortly. So I hope you watch, and if you have any questions, feel free to connect with me.
Outstanding. And Amy was also a guest on the Tyra Banks show several months ago.
And she's more gorgeous and taller than you can imagine. And I am a tall girl. And if you see the clip on my website, I look like a shrimp.
Yes, she is definitely a tall. I just want to let everyone know that if you're interested in information about Child-Centered Divorce Network, the website is childcenteredivorce.com. I have a free weekly e-zine and tons of articles and resources, and I do individual and group coaching and have some audio programs available as well, and a free e-book for anyone interested if you just email me at divorcepro@gmail.com. Happy to send that to you.
Roz, you are being
yeah.
too modest. You need to tell people about one of the most spectacular tools I have ever seen that parents can use to explain.
You. Yes, I did forget. My book is How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love. And that book is available at either childcenteredivorce.com or howdoitellthekids.com. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful resource that parents can use with fill-in-the-blank templates to make the process easier and smoother and more effective than anything else that I've experienced, and that's why I've made it available. So we have...
Roz, I just want to say my favorite thing about your book is that it really helps parents come together, too, because it helps everybody remember it wasn't all that bad.
Yes.
And I think that can really help to, you know, future negotiations and co-parenting to remember that there was some good in this marriage.
Thank you. That's an important facet of it. You know, we all have our perspective, and the purpose and the goal is all to create the win-win outcome for everyone in the family. We have just over a minute left, so I want to ask each of you to just give us a sentence about the best thing to take away from this program. Amy, let's start with you.
I'm going to go back to your children will do as well as you do, and you always want to try and take the high road. So get yourself into a place where you're solid, you feel like you have a strong foundation. Don't rely on your kids to get there. Get the help you need and be strong for them.
Fabulous. And Linda?
Well, it's your divorce. It's not your kids. And so don't get them trapped in the middle of a nasty situation. Whatever your intention is, you can create, you can manifest. If you want to have a peaceful divorce, enroll the other person in doing that and keep the focus on the children instead of your own pain.
Thank you. And last, Laura.
You're not alone. As you can well hear, you're simply in good company. And get the support that you need. There's plenty of us out here that are happy to hold your hand and to support you in moving forward and creating the life that you that you dream of and that you vision. So go out and get it.
And I want to remind everyone that next Tuesday at the same time, we have another teleseminar with three wonderful experts who are going to be talking about another facet of of moving on in divorce, and we look forward to all of you being there, and I encourage you to get the free gifts that are also available at childsharing.com/childcenteredDivorce. We have a lot of wonderful gifts available. Thank you all. You've been a wonderful tonight, and I so appreciate your wisdom.